1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. For from you the word of the Lord hath sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. The subject of our preaching today is the word of the Lord has sounded forth. And I want to just recap. Last week, we saw that the character of the Thessalonians, we saw their work of faith, we saw their labor of love, and we saw their patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how they lived in the sight of God, God the Father. And the gospel did not come to them in word only, but came to them in a power. Their lives were changed. They had much assurance, and people would look at them and know that these are genuine and true Christians. They were taught of the Holy Spirit. Their hearts were anchored. They were ready and steadfast in the Lord. They were followers of Christ, awakened in His holy service. And lastly, we saw that they were ensamples. That means they were patterns of what a true Christian should be. In other words, they were model Christians. They were really good examples of Christians. And the word of the Lord came to them. And who was it that brought the word to them? It was the Apostle Paul. And he came to them from Philippi, having been beaten with rods. He was mistreated in Philippi. His back must have been very painful, but his heart was full. And he said, it doesn't matter how I feel, I must minister the gospel, the word of truth. And when he arrived there, he first went to the synagogue, but the Jews refused the gospel. And then he went to the heathen with great success. Large numbers turned from their idols, as we saw last week, and they turned to the living God. The gospel impacted their lives and caused such a change in their lives. They were so full, they were so rich, they were washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And out of gratitude, now we come to today's topic, out of gratitude, with a humble thankfulness, they were zealous to preach the gospel. They wanted to preach the gospel, for the Lord had done so much for them. They must tell others. They have a deep and a real concern for those that do not know the Lord, and they cannot be silent. And this is indeed another real mark of a true Christian, a characteristic of a true Christian. They cannot be silent about their Savior. They must tell others of their Savior, that He is the one that saved them, and He wants to save all men. They have this scripture before them. We could say 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. The last part of that scripture says, Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I think this was their attitude. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. When I was preparing, I read a practical example, a very good example, of men that were walking in the desert. It was a dry place, of course. They'd run out of water. They were very, very thirsty. And they found a spring of water. And this saved their lives. They drank from that well. And they were refreshed. And they were saved. And then they got up and they went into the desert to their friends. And they said, "There's no need to perish. We have found the spring. Come and drink. Come and drink." They couldn't be silent. They wanted people to drink because they had been saved. They wanted others to be saved. And they said, "Come here, there's water. There's water enough for all of us." And this is what the Thessalonians did in verse 8. "From you," says the apostle, or says the word of God, "from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we need not say anything." So they had a good testimony. They had a very good testimony. People heard of what they had done. And the gospel came to them. The gospel came to them. I think of the scripture, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring the good news." What came to them? Peace was proclaimed to them. The peace. There was enmity between God and man, but now peace was proclaimed. There was no more alienation. They were reconciled to God. Glad tidings of good things was preached. And what were those glad tidings? That every sin would be removed, as far as the east is from the west, and taken away. New robes of righteousness would be given unto them. Pure robes, white robes, clean robes. Oh, they would be adopted into the family of the living God. This was the good news, the glad tidings. He would be their father, and they would be his children. And this is what the salvation message is that they heard, that these Thessalonians heard, and they couldn't be silent. And the one who truly has been saved has a desire for others to come unto salvation as well. The Bible knows nothing about people being saved that are silent and don't want to tell others. So these Thessalonians, their faith was so lively, it sounded forth. And that word, sounded forth, it means it was like a trumpet blast. It means it was loud. It means it was unmistakable proclamation, like the thunder rolling across the hills. It's unmistakable. And this proclamation, this sounding forth, arose other nations. For he says that the word of God sounded forth from them. Their faith was loud and clear. Now, understand, they did preach, but it was not only actual preaching. The sounding forth also meant that they were careful in their behavior and they were Christ-like examples. So their testimony also preached. Their preaching and living were all one piece. They weren't one thing when they preached and another thing when they were in secret. They were one piece. Their lives, from A to Z, set forth the gospel. What an example these people were. And they learned this from the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was an example of a selfless person, a person who put God first. And he, remember, I started off telling you how he had been beaten in Philippi. He was beaten with rods. He was severely beaten. And he must have still been recovering from this beating, yet he came selflessly to the Thessalonians to preach, and he worked with them. He worked day and night, the scripture says. His tent-making business was day and night. Day and night he labored. Why? So that he didn't have to be a burden unto them, so that he could have looked after himself. But we know from scripture that even with his laboring day and night, it wasn't enough. For help was sent from Philippi once and then once again. He received help from Philippi. So he put God first, and God made sure that help came to him, even though his labor couldn't fulfill and make up the needs that he had. The Lord took care of him. He was zealous. The Lord rewarded the apostle. He gave him the people, not only saved them, in other words. He did such a work. The Lord did such a work in these Thessalonians' hearts that they became zealous to preach the gospel themselves. And they went out and they became echoes of Paul's preaching. They became a voice proclaiming the truth. Yet we must understand that they didn't really follow the Apostle Paul. They were following Christ Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, Paul says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I follow Christ." So they weren't following Paul. They saw Christ in Paul, and they were following the Christ that they saw in Paul. They followed regardless of how much affliction they were subject to. They loved the gospel, and they gladly suffered the persecution which arose from being a preacher. The gospel, because of that severe persecution, it stood out and it shone, it shined even brighter, because the people were amazed. They said, "They are so persecuted and they preach so faithfully and so purely, even under all the afflictions, it doesn't stop them preaching." This week I was reading a book. What amazed me was that in times past, there was terrible persecution in the Christian church, and they endured such a fierce persecution, and it didn't stop them. But what happened was that even the persecutors marveled that these people still preached under such heavy persecution. And the result was that some of the persecutors turned to the Lord and were saved. So people everywhere saw these Thessalonians' behavior and how they were willing to endure hardship, and not only endure it, but endure it with joy. With joy. And that made a powerful testimony. So this everlasting gospel that was taken by these Thessalonians, that was sounded forth by them, the verb that is used in sounding forth, the original meaning of sounding forth, indicates continuous activity that started long ago and continues to the present. We don't mature in our Christianity where we no longer sound forth the gospel. It's continuous. And it began in the past, and it continues to the present and to the very time when our Lord will return. So the word went to, they sounded it out to Macedonia, Achaia, and to every place, to every nation, to every tribe, to every tongue. And they did it with the joy of the Holy Ghost. The harder the tribulation and opposition was, the greater the consolation of the Holy Ghost was. So when things got difficult, the Holy Spirit gave them more strength. And another motivation that they had, they gave themselves to God, they devoted himself to the Lord, because they really believed with all of their hearts that Jesus Christ was coming again, that he was the soon and coming King. And they lived in an expectancy. They lived in patience and in trust that the Lord would return. And we see that in verse 10. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus Christ, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So they were waiting for the Son of God to return. They were people that knew the phrase very well. They knew, behold, the bridegroom cometh. The bridegroom cometh. Let us go out and meet him. And if we had that understanding in our lives, we would be people who went out and proclaimed the Lord in every place. The Lord is coming. Our time is short. We must proclaim as a church, as a people, we would be increasingly influenced because we're expecting the Lord's appearing. We're expecting that he's coming soon. And because he's coming soon, we're going to be zealous to preach the gospel. Think of the scripture, the night hour cometh when no man can work. Now is the time to preach the gospel. So we've seen something, point number two. We've seen something of what sort of men the Thessalonians were. Now let's look at the message that they preached. What did they sound forth? And the scripture tells us, from you sounded out the word of the Lord. They preached the word of the Lord. The gospel is not the word of men. The gospel is the word of the Lord. And in our day and in our age, some men change and they modify the gospel to make it more acceptable to men. They remove the need for repentance. They don't mention hell and damnation and eternal punishment. They say there's no need to submit to Jesus Christ. You don't have to surrender everything to him. And they remove everything that's offensive. All the hard elements of the gospel they remove. And they think that if they remove those hard elements, the gospel will be more acceptable to man and more men will want the gospel. But that's not the gospel. But this gospel, things are removed from, is not the word of God. It is the word of man. And the Bible calls this kind of gospel that has something removed from it, it calls it another gospel. And we are never to preach another gospel. If you would turn to Galatians chapter 1, Galatians 1, verse 6 to 8. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So now the apostle is talking about a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Those who pervert the gospel, they leave out and they overturn fundamental foundations. And this implies that they want to make an alternative path to heaven. They want to say, well, you don't have to believe in repentance. Just come as you are. God will accept you. He will overlook your sin. And they try to establish an alternative path beyond what is revealed in the gospel of Christ. They have twisted the gospel and they are guilty of great distortion of it. And they find them, these ones that do this, they will find themselves in great danger. Danger of being accursed. You say, no. How can that be? That's very harsh. Have you understood correctly? Well, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear by repeating it a second time in verse 9. And I'll read it. As we have said before, and say again now, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Oh, it is a serious business to twist the gospel and to remove the foundational elements of the gospel. We preach the gospel as it is in the Word of God. And if we neglect to do that, Paul says, we are twice accursed. So it's very important. We need a clear definition of what the gospel is. And for us to find a clear definition, a real definition, we must go to the Word of God. And we see it in Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. And we'll come to it. Acts 20, 20 says, how I kept nothing back that was helpful. Kept nothing back that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house. Now, the next verse, verse 21, comes the gospel message. Testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. Repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And repentance. I saw a definition of repentance. Repentance is a ladder. And the writer said a ladder of sorrow, which has descended into the depths of our hearts. And it has three steps, this ladder. Number one, knowledge of sin. Number two, sorrow for sin. And number three, a desire for salvation from sin. That's what repentance is. Turning from sin and turning to God. Acts, the book of Acts again, chapter 26. And verse 18 is what the apostle is saying, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That's what repentance is. It's a turning from the power of Satan to the power of God, from darkness to light. And then the phrase, faith towards Jesus Christ. Faith towards? No, not Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if you receive Jesus and you don't receive His Lordship in your life, you know, many people, they say, Jesus is my Lord, but He's not really their Lord. They just do whatever they want to do. They just live how they want to live. They go where they want to go. And they say they've accepted Jesus, but they have not made Him Lord. We must have faith and make Jesus the Lord of our life. Submission to Him. Then we are truly saved. The Thessalonians, they were not interested in preaching any other gospel. They were not interested in sounding forth something other than the gospel that saved them. They wanted to tell what the Lord had done for them, and they had no desire to modify the gospel. They had no desire to add to the gospel. They had no desire to subtract from the gospel. They were not embarrassed at the gospel. They were not ashamed of the gospel. They preached the gospel. And that is what we as God's people, they were not concerned in the slightest that the gospel might be offensive to the unsaved. It wasn't their concern. Their only concern, they had one concern, that they preach the word of the Lord. That they preach the word of the Lord. And that is our concern. We preach the word of the Lord. Now, point number three that we come to is, at this present time that we live in now, there's a great need for this kind of preaching. The way one man puts it is a trumpet blast. There's a great need for this trumpet blast, this clear trumpet blast of the gospel of salvation. And it's very true. We are all different. All of us are different kinds of people. Some people are very bold. They find it easy to walk up to somebody and engage in conversation with them and start witnessing to them. They don't find that difficult. They easily do that. And many are very, very talented and good at this. But there are some who find it very difficult. Others may find it easier to focus on ministering to children. And others may find it easier to, maybe those that are asking questions, they feel more confident to speak to them. They could possibly teach a Sunday school class. They can hand out tracts. The point is this, that no matter what kind of person we may be, we can all witness on some level. We can witness somehow, somewhere. Every true Christian has got a real heart to witness. They want to be involved in making Jesus Christ known. Every Christian longs to see other Christians saved, and they want to communicate the message to the lost. And the gospel is the word of God. We know that. And His word needs to spread far and wide to the lost and the perishing. Because the lost and the perishing, are affected with the terrible disease of sin, resulting in eternal death and separation from God, and how they need to hear the cure of that disease, the blood of Jesus Christ, the balm of Gilead, not the sap from the balsam tree that was, you know, the balsam tree, it had healing properties. To receive the healing properties, they would pierce the bark of the balsam tree and they would take some of the sap and they would put the sap on the wound and the wound would be healed. Well, Jesus Christ was pierced at Calvary and his blood is the cure for the disease of sin. His blood is the only cure for the disease of sin. His atonement on the cross, the action of what he did upon the cross. Oh, that he died and was buried and rose again from the dead. This is what brings life to people. The precious message of the gospel is the only hope for those perishing with the disease of sin. Without the gospel, there's only one prospect for them: eternal separation and eternal punishment. There's no name like the name of Jesus. There's no name as sweet as the name of Jesus. There's no name as saving as the name of Jesus. And we must proclaim that name wherever we go. We have to understand John chapter 15 and verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. God has chosen us and given us the privilege to go forth and bear fruit. And then he says, and we see here that prayer goes side by side with walking in God's commandments, with walking in the commandment of the Great Commission, that the commandment of the Great Commission, making the love of Christ known to the lost and the dying world. Prayer is a vital part. We cannot blame God for the failure. We trace the failure to lack of going to God and forgetfulness to go to God. Our lack of asking the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Spurgeon says it like this. He says, "Shall God do your will if you neglect to do his will? Shall he wait on you if you will not wait upon him?" Oh, we must wait upon the Lord. I heard a testimony that will be helpful to some, for some find it hard to preach. Some find it hard to share one-to-one. Some find it hard to even give out Christian literature. And there was this preacher, he said he found it difficult to give out tracts or give out literature and speak directly to people. But he had a desire to do something. So what did he do? He would take Bible tracts and he would leave them on the bus, on the seat. He would take Bible tracts and he would leave them in strategic places, in shops or outside a shop at the entrance. And he said this is what he could do at that time of his life. He couldn't have the boldness to speak to them, but he could put tracts out. He could pray for those that picked them up. And anyone can do that. We can all do that. Let us not be unfaithful with this gospel treasure that's been entrusted to us. Let us be faithful with the mysteries of God. Let us take care that our light is not hid under a basket or hid under a bed. Let us take care that the talent that we have received is not wrapped up in a napkin. Let us not hoard up and pile up everything that the Lord has given us. Let there never be someone that knocks on our door and inquires of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we say, no, I am busy now. Come back another day. I will talk to you another time. No, let us not say, I'm asleep now. Come tomorrow morning. Let us never be too idle to attend to this call. And one of the old writers, it was Spurgeon, he said, you and I are reservoirs. We are water tanks. We are full of the gospel news. The faithful steward lets that water flow through 100 pipes to a lost and a dying world. Oh, may there be 100 outlets from each of us. The gospel message flowing out in every possible way to a lost and a dying world. He goes on to say, how can we expect the gospel to be kept alive in the world if we don't hand it on to the next generation? We received it from the former generation. It was handed down to us. And what will be said in 100 years from now? And may it never be said by the people of 3025, in 100 years from now. Imagine if the people of 3025 said, the previous generation didn't make the gospel known. They let go of the truth. They denied us the doctrine. And now we perish in darkness because they didn't tell us. Oh no, let it never be. Never let it be said, your men never preached the gospel. Although they had the gift, they never preached the gospel. Your woman never spoke of it to those that around them, that came to their shops. They never told their children. They were like a light that flickered and almost went out. And now, because of their negligence, we suffer today. Oh, may that never be the case. May we be a people, individuals. May we be a church that preaches the good news. You know, there are churches today. They are on television. They have got powerful sound systems. They've got beautiful choirs. Good singers, and they think, because there are many people in those churches, we are so successful. Oh, we are the ones. God is using us to change this nation. But they never preach the gospel. They only bring people for entertainment. They flash some lights. They say some nice words, but there's no burden to reach the lost. I would rather have a church with 5 people that are zealous for reaching the lost than 10,000 people who have only come to hear the music. Oh, we must preach the good news. How marvelous this church was at Thessalonica. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth. In every place, your faith towards God has gone out, so that men need not say anything. They trumpeted God's word forth, and the report of them went out to every place. The gospel so impacted their lives. They lived for God. They were willing to endure hardship. They counted it a privilege to suffer for the sake of the gospel. They held forth the word of God. Some went, yes, they preached, but all of them, their testimony went forth. People said, Have you heard of those Thessalonians? Have you heard how they turned from their idols to serve the living God? Have you heard that even in much affliction they are preaching? You see, the town of Thessalonica was a port city. It was on the main Roman road from east to west, and many people came through the town. They saw and they heard, and the word went, their testimony went to many nations, faraway nations, further than they ever went. Oh, may it be that if the Lord does not return, that our testimony will go far and wide. There is a people in Nanuki who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who are willing to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. They have a testimony. They are the elect of God. Oh, may we be one who goes forth. Let's take Christ everywhere. Let's take Christ in the bus. Let's take Christ in the street. Let's take Christ in the shop. Let's preach Christ wherever we are. That powerful name of Jesus Christ. Oh, but I feel so small. I'm unable to do that. It's all right for you. You're a pastor, but how can I do that? Think of these words as I close. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we see a people who were zealous for your work. Oh, that we too, O Lord, would be a people zealous for your work, zealous to sound forth the gospel. Help us, O Lord, in our timidity. Grant us, Lord, that each one of us would find an avenue of service where we can send forth the good news, whether it's by tracts, whether it's one-on-one, whether it's to the children. Oh, Lord, and pray, help us to remember not to neglect prayer for the lost, O Lord. Make us a zealous people, we ask this, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.